Hear the extraordinary secrets of how to thrive in a disrupted world.
The old rules of management are not really correct anymore.
So what works?
Making a wise pivot.
Pivot to the future with Will.i.am and Omar Abbosh. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. How would a snack taste right about now? Food companies are betting that Americans will continue their snacking ways and push the industry to $180 billion over the next several years. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. The U.S. factory sector lost some momentum in June for the second month in a row, but the news isn't all bad. The decline was not as steep as many economists had predicted. Plus, data from the Institute for Supply Management shows that the U.S. has come through the 2019 global slowdown better than other developed nations. And that's mostly due to American consumers increasing spending in 2019 amid low unemployment and rising wages. Most economists expect the U.S. economy to grow around 2% this year. And a penthouse belonging to the estate of Barbara Sinatra, the late wife of music icon Frank Sinatra, is on the market for $8 million. The 5,600-square-foot penthouse is in the Westwood area of Los Angeles. It features four bedrooms and five terraces, providing mountain, ocean, and city views. Also a living room with a built-in bar and cocktail area, along with a large table that flips over to become a poker table. Frank Sinatra's grand piano is in the apartment, as well as busts of both he and Barbara. The busts and the piano are not included in the sale.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why they've created Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card. Eno catches overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, and then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. It's another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
As kids, we were told, don't eat in between meals. You'll ruin your appetite. Well, times have changed. The snack market is expected to grow to $180 billion just in the U.S. by the year 2022. That is lots of companies vying for space. And Wall Street Journal reporter Micah Maidenberg is here with us to discuss. So, Micah, as you point out in your story, consumption of sweet and healthy snacks, even though that sector is expected to grow, the consumption declined last year.
Right. The big picture, of course, is that over the last, 40 or so years, from the late 70s till, 2015, 2016, more Americans have said that they have at least one snack a day. In the late 70s, 40% of Americans said they didn't snack during the day. So that gives you a sense of how eating habits have changed. More recently, however, we noticed some data from one of the market research firms that follows consumer packaged goods, or sort of that industry. We noticed that, Americans were saying they were eating a little bit less snacks than they had, the year prior. So for some folks who follow the industry, there's sort of, that begs a question of can this sort of growth that we've seen over the decades continue? There certainly are a lot of companies out there that are betting it will, but there was that kind of choppiness. And as you said.
And that choppiness has not deterred these companies from jumping in to try to succeed in this sector, but also pour a lot of resources into it.
Some of the most interesting deals in kind of food manufacturing have been with larger firms that are looking to sort of tether themselves to snacks because they believe in that growth story. For example, Kellogg's, who we think of as a cereal maker, now owns RX Bar, which have these sort of hip packaging and very few ingredients. You'll see them at, a lot of different kinds of stores. And Hershey is another really good example. I mean, everybody has a certain association of the products you get at Hershey, but Hershey now owns popcorn. They own Pirate Booty cheese puffs. So it's really interesting.
It might be easier to rationalize a snack that's popcorn instead of a Hershey bar, though I'd run to a Hershey bar anytime I wanted a snack, but I'm not supposed to be eating that. You said Kellogg's, and that's a situation where they sort of face an unforced error along the way with RX Bar, which gave themselves a kind of a hiccup, but they're in this to win.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Kellogg said during their first quarter that a recall involving, they had to recall some varieties of RX bars because of potential non-disclosed peanuts in there, obviously an issue, you know, for people with allergies. But almost as a subcategory within snacking are the bars. It's a really competitive space. A lot of consumers will know Nature Valley, will know Fiber One. These are a couple of General Mills, you know, top brands. And General Mills said that both of those brands struggled in the last quarter. And their CEO, when I spoke to him after their earnings calls, you know, pegged fixing the snack bar brands as sort of the biggest challenge the company faces as they kind of get into their new fiscal year.
In terms of comparing the 1970s to today, when people didn't admit to snacking and now they snack quite a bit, mm-hmm. It probably has a lot to do with just the whole new social world of the workplace where people are on the go. There isn't a formal time for dinner, perhaps, and they're working later hours. And it makes snacking, I guess, a regular part of their day.
To some degree, the extent to which is debated amongst, you know, companies and analysts and others watching the industry, to some degree, we certainly are, you know, more of a nation of grazers than we have been in the past. And I think that's especially true during breakfast and lunch. You know, when I was talking to just, you know, consumers for this story to ask them how they eat and how they think about snacks, it was often like breakfast and lunch where people would be talking about breakfast is now a bar, lunch is now a bag of chips, a handful of cubed cheese, you know, of cheese and maybe an apple, and sort of like assembling these snacks into like the midday meal, and as opposed to sort of some of the traditional, you know, types of food that we might have associated with it in the past.
You mentioned your stories that some companies have been able to find some success by raising prices. Some other companies are finding success by looking at acquisitions.
Yeah. One of the things that's really interesting about food companies is they have a lot of sort of levers to pull to sort of keep their sales up. So, for example, Mondelez International was spun off of Kraft a few years ago. It's sort of a pure play snack company. You know, they're about snacks. They've got Oreos, they've got Triscuits, they've got a bunch of other brands. In North America, their sort of sales, if you exclude currency movements and a few other things, you know, ticked up 0.5% in their latest quarter, but that was pretty much driven all by price increases. Sales volumes for their brands in North America actually slipped a little bit. So it's interesting, like sometimes like consumers can actually, you know, end up buying like less product from a company, but the company can still sort of tweak the dials to make sure they're hitting their revenue numbers. And we see that fairly often.
All right. Well, we'll see the revenue numbers if they do come up between now and 2022, as the industry expects sales to exceed $180 billion. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Micah Maidenberg here in our studio. Micah, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.